Hello, Symphony. Let's turn to Hebrews 10 for today's devotional. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When you said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment, and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Amen. Before Jesus, the Israelites had to follow rituals and make animal sacrifices to atone for their sins. They would go to the tabernacle where priests would minister in a room from the holy place, which was separated by a thick, heavy curtain covering a second room called the Holy of Holies, otherwise known as the Most Holy Place. Inside the Most Holy Place contained the Ark of the Covenant, which embodied the presence of God. This room was so holy that priests were only allowed in once a year on the Day of Atonement, and they had to do very detailed rituals to be cleansed to enter. This curtain basically guarded the entrance to the most holy place, which was so holy that any unclean person would die immediately. Now, there's a legend, and I say legend because it's not actually seen in the Torah, that the high priest would tie bells on his ankles with a rope to the outside, just in case he died. If the priest outside heard the bells, they knew all was well. If silent, they would pull the rope to drag him out. Now, I want to pause and speak of holiness for a second. Think of the sun, S-U-N, sun. It's good, it's life-giving, and in fact, our earth cannot survive without it. But it is so powerful that anything that goes even remotely near it will be immediately destroyed. God's holiness is akin to that. He is good, but because we are not holy, we cannot draw near. This is why God made a way for the priests to be able to make sacrifices to transfer their uncleanness onto animals so that they could draw near. Now, if I were that high priest, I'd be shaking in my sandals. All it'd take would be one small error in my ritual, and I'd be a goner. But verse 19 says that because of Jesus, we now have what? We have confidence to enter the holy places, not by the blood of animals, but by the blood of Jesus, once and for all. This means no more Day of Atonement. Verse 20 says, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. The way to the most holy place, aka God's presence, was cleared. No more Day of Atonement, no more animal sacrifices, no more curtain separating. Jesus tore the veil. With that, there are three chunks of writing that I see in this chapter. Section 1, verses 19 to 25, is an exhortation to draw near with a full assurance of faith. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have full confidence to draw near to him with a full assurance of faith, knowing that we are all fully forgiven and free. So what is our response? Well, Hebrews encourages us to, 1, hold fast the confession of our hope, meaning to cling on to Jesus, saying don't compromise ourselves to the world, but hold fast to him without wavering. And 2, stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. I think it's so striking that this encouragement is here. After all of this amazing writing of how we can be with God without the veil, Hebrews says, okay, so don't do it alone. Be in community. Be consistent in meeting and gathering together. Encourage one another to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. This past week, Pastor Barry preached on friendships. I think this is another encouragement and timely reminder to stir one another to love and to be in community in the local church. Section 2, verses 26 to 31, a sobering warning. Hebrews then warns us that the judgment of sinning deliberately after knowing what Jesus had done for us will lead to greater judgment. Of course, because of Jesus, if we repent and turn from our ways, God promises us through the new covenant that our sins are forgiven and forgotten. But when we deliberately choose our ways over God's, we cheapen the cross. I used to think, if God is going to forgive me anyways, I'm just going to do whatever I want. What's the point? But this is the wrong heart to have, as it cheapens the cross and shows a lack of understanding of God's immense grace and sacrifice. So let's heed this warning with sober-heartedness and return to him in repentance today. And lastly, section 3, verses 32 to 39, a call to remembrance and endurance. Hebrews gives encouragement to keep enduring in the faith. He says, remember when you struggled with sufferings, but God was with you. You had joy amidst the persecution. Don't forget God's faithfulness and keep enduring. Don't shrink back and get destroyed, but have faith and persevere. Perhaps you listening today are going through a difficult season. God is not saying, hey, just be good or else. Rather, he's saying, come to me, come to the cross, receive forgiveness and freedom. And there is where we are able to find God's strength in our weaknesses, joy in all circumstances, and faith to endure all trials. So today, let us draw near with full assurance of faith. Let us repent and let us keep on in the faith with remembrance and endurance. Let's pray. Jesus, you tore the veil and made a way so that we could be with the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice that saved us once and for all. I pray that we would hold fast the confession of our faith amidst all the distractions, trials, and temptations of this world. May you find us to be faithful in your eyes, and by your mercy, may you cover our weaknesses so that you would be made strong in us. Thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.